Are you ready to go from burned out to blissed out? I'm Rebecca Whitman. I will share with you my 7 pillars of abundance and interview experts that will help you get all 7 areas of your life in alignment so that you can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's get into the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a phenomenal guest. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kian Vu.
Thank you so much for having me. As you were reciting the title of your podcast, Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant, that feels like the Thrive State.
It is. We are so aligned. So I met Dr. Vu, fondly known as Dr. V in the media, because he is a media personality, at a dinner party. And I sat next to him and I didn't even know that he was a world-class longevity expert. He just had that high vibe, tribe feeling. And I wanted to get to know him better. Once I found out how amazing he was after hearing him on a panel, I knew that you guys had to hear his wisdom on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. And it was only after inviting you on the podcast that I found out that you were doing business with my husband, Ben Press. So it's like, it was so meant to be that we connected.
The universe works in magical ways.
It really does. So let me tell my audience about your incredible background. So Dr. Kian Vu, popularly known as Dr. V, is one of the most sought-after anti-aging physicians in the world. As the founder of Vu MD Performance and Longevity, Dr. V advises a diverse clientele of professional athletes, executives, celebrities, and Fortune 500 organizations on achieving sustained wellness and peak performance. He is a number one best-selling author of Thrive State. And Thrive State is next to my bed right now. I'm like going through it, taking notes, applying things. And he's an engaging keynote speaker, a workshop facilitator, and a health media expert. His empowering presentations have inspired major companies like Whole Foods, Bank of America, and J.P. Morgan. He has been on major media platforms like ABC News. He's done a TEDx talk. He's been on The Doctors and Access Hollywood. So after reading your book, I know that you were not always in the longevity space and you were not always in a Thrive State. So give us a little bit of your origin story and tell my audience how you got to be this well-known longevity expert. Where did you start?
Oh, well, I mean, if we have to go way back, it started in a Chevy. you know, I was born in post-war Vietnam. And when I was a couple months old, my parents were forced to actually flee with me on a refugee boat. So we were on a refugee boat with over 2,000 other refugees who were crammed like sardines. We spent 8 months on the boat, 3 months in a Philippine refugee camp. And then we were sponsored to America by a Catholic church. And I remember growing up, I was constantly being teased for the holes in my hand-me-down clothes, for the ethnic food my mom sent me to school with. Go back to your home country, Chinky! I got a lot of that. And so growing up, there were stories I made up about myself, not being good enough, not being tall enough, not being American enough, not being white enough. And that these stories of not feeling worthy or not being enough led me to think that I needed to succeed. I needed to get something outside of myself, strive to get that so that I could be worthy of love. And so I was valedictorian of my high school. I went to college. I got into the top medical schools. I went to UCSD for medical school. I went to and studied at the National Institutes of Health. I got a Howard Hughes Medical Scholarship. I trained at the NIH. I became an interventional radiologist. So that's a doctor that uses medical imaging to perform minimally invasive surgery. So I worked on people with cancer, with chronic disease, diabetes, all sorts of disease. And then 17 years ago, I find myself at the peak of my career. I had a nice little Porsche 911 turbo convertible, bought a fancy house. But underneath that white coat, I was overweight, diabetic, had high blood pressure, and I was on several prescription medications.
Wow.
I was a doctor that was giving medical advice, but I was getting the beginning stages of the diseases that were going to make me end up in my own operating room table. And so I knew that I was living life not in congruence of who I am. And, you know, the more I share the story, the more I start to understand that who we are as children, potentially our childhood traumas, allow us to live a life of a mask, of being people that might be avoidant, aggressive, people pleasing, or whatever that might be. For me, it was seeking success. And going through that life just drove more inflammation in my body, dropped my immune system down, that got me chronic symptoms and chronic disease. And it was a journey of uncovering who I am, remembering who I am, and starting to say yes to the authentic version of me, that not only did I reverse all my chronic conditions, but on biological tests, I biologically age backwards. I'm like 47 right now. And I am, you know, if you look at my biological age test, it says I'm 33. So,
wow, that is incredible. Now, I've got to know, we're going to get into some of your deeper questions, but just for the shallow people that are just listening to the first 10 minutes of the podcast, like I do sometimes, give us your top 5 biohacks for aging in reverse. Because I know your book is full of so many, but give us your top 5.
Top 5 biohacks. Well, first, you have to recognize one thing. And this isn't a biohack, but this is going to be what I say now is going to make these other 5 biohacks make sense. But how we live our life is medicine.
Yes.
That the feeling that we feel, these emotions that we go through, the energy that goes through our body is not only energy that is felt by other people around us, but it's felt by every single cell in your body. So how you live your life and how you feel actually dictates the messages that you're giving to your DNA. And so the choices that we make can shift how we feel and therefore shift the messages that we're giving to ourselves. And so if we want to live a long time, these would be my top 5.
Okay.
Number one would be something I actually teach organizations and my personal clients. It's something called laughter yoga. It's, you know, they can go to my YouTube channel, check it out. It's where we clap and we laugh. And here's the thing. Once we get to move and start to breathe and start to laugh and move our body and shake things around, our body actually doesn't know the difference between real laughter and fake laughter. And if you're doing this just for a couple of minutes, it starts to shift your state, starts to shift how you feel. And I know teams now that are basically starting off their week this way, because no matter what life circumstances are, if they just get themselves out of their state and feel a little bit differently, they've got new options and choices in terms of how they can approach the world. And so that's what I do.
Give us an example of the laughter yoga mudra.
Here, laughter yoga. So I'll have people just clap like this, side to side, go, then I'll have them throw their hands up, take a deep breath in, and then come down with a laugh. And then there's like 50 of those exercises I take them through. That was only 30 seconds, but you can notice right then and there, even if you didn't want to do it, just going through that motion changes your state. And again, yeah. Change your state, you change the message you give to yourselves, you change your health, you change the relationship with how you have with people because you show up differently. You change your ability to innovate, to be creative, because now you're in a different state. So number one is laughing, and laughter yoga is a great one. Number two is yoga nidra, also known as NSDR, which is non-sleep deep rest. And it's something you can look up on YouTube. You can do 10 to 20 minutes of this, but I do this once or twice a day, where basically just focusing on your breath and focusing on each body part and just doing a body scan without actually taking a nap, it rejuvenates you immediately. It allows you just to be in the present moment, so you're out of your head, and so you can just calm and get yourself like recentered. That's something you can do for free, which is an absolute biohack. The third thing.
This is a good one for me because I was doing yoga nidra when I was waking up in the middle of the night and I couldn't fall back asleep. I was using it as a tool to get back to sleep. I've never heard of doing it in the middle of the day for a reset. That's a great biohack.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And if you don't have time, like if you don't have 10, 15 minutes, 4-7-8 breathing is a great biohack. And notice all the biohack I'm going to share here. I don't know if I'm going to share any technologies yet. I may or may not. But all the biohacks I'm sharing are free to do. We just have to do them. And that's the most empowering thing. That the things that allow us to live a long time, to reverse our aging process, is mental and emotional things that if we practice and we commit to, changes the state of our body and empowers us without actually needing to buy something different. I'm not trying to sell you anything here. 4-7-8 breathing is a very awesome technique, and it involves breathing through your nostrils for a count of 4, holding for a count of 7, and then exhaling as if you were blowing through a straw for a count of 8. I just did one right there. And it is very relaxing. It's very calming. And I find if I do 10 of those, and it'll take me probably less than a minute or two to do 10 of those, I find myself just like getting out of my monkey mind and being able to be grounded and present. And that's a really awesome biohack because, as you'll understand deeper in this conversation, the choices that we make in life actually shift our bioenergetic state. Unfortunately, if we're in our monkey mind default mode, we're making choices that are constantly looking for what's wrong. We're playing off this program mask that is our survival and fear mechanism of our brain. But if we can calm that down and say, no, how do I want to show up? How do I want to show up to this conversation? How do I want to show up, you know, for my body? You can start to make new choices. And if you're doing that more intentionally, you know, I try to do this as much as I can because my monkey mind takes over a lot. This has been very transformational for me to be able to make new choices in my life. So 4-7-8 breathing is another one.
Great.
So that's number 3. Number four is really just helping people, serving people. And it does a very important thing. We're going to get into the science of this maybe in our conversation, but the things that stress us out the most, we've got a part of our brain and nervous system called the default mode network. And when it's on, it's constantly looking for the things that can hurt us. It's our ego mind, and it's constantly running in the background. And it's on because our bodies are meant to survive. And it's constantly looking for things that are not making it safe, not making us loved, or not making us feel accepted. When you start to just help people without expecting anything in return, you're sending your body and nervous system a very important message. Not only does it feel good to help people, but the reason it does is it turns off the default mode. When you help people just because, and you could be generous with a lot of things. If you don't have money, you don't have to give money to people. You could be generous with your time. You could be generous with your attention, with your advice, with your listening, with your space, with your attention. And when you just share that without anything in return, you're telling your body, I am safe. I am loved. And I am accepted. And you turn off the things that actually run the fear mechanism in our mind. That fear mechanism is in our mind that runs too much, that's the thing that also ages us faster. So that's number 4, is just giving and sharing.
I'll be texting you for free medical advice to get you out of your DMN. Right, I have your cell phone number.
There you go. There's a freebie for you. And then the last thing. When I play with my daughter, I can just forget about the things that stress me out. And trust me, I'm a longevity doctor and a former hospital doctor that goes through a lot of stress. And I just have a lot of tools to deal with stress now. And so when I play with her, I'm just in a place where I just feel like I'm truly in flow. And that's the thing I want people to walk away with, is I do believe that there's a divine child within all of us.
Beautiful.
And that's who we authentically are. And that's really the God within. And if we could put ourselves in that state, it's just a state of lightness and ease and I don't know, alive living that just makes your cells feel like we've got something we need to continue to live for. That's the message you give yourselves. So, I mean, it's maybe very close to the very first one. Yes, there's laughing, but play. Learn to play more.
Playing, yes. Adults stop playing. That's why I think workouts are great, but I played college tennis. I needed a 25-year mental health break. I had to like reframe it. I'm like you, I'm a recovering overachiever. And I was playing tennis for like approval. And I just started playing to play. Yeah. And it has done so much for my health and getting into that thrive state. So let's tell the audience, what is the thrive state that you describe so eloquently in your book?
The thrive state is basically an energy. It's a life force. It's a state of being that we can feel. And it all revolves around the concept of bioenergetic medicine. So we are energetic beings. All our cells are bioenergetic species that are interacting with each other. So for example, we take sunlight. We notice the sunlight. We've got the energy from the sun reaching the sensors in our eye that basically creates a chemical reaction that causes a nerve impulse to then shoot down to our gut, allowing it to release serotonin. And all of a sudden, we feel better. All these things convert one form of energy to another. And so everything is energy, and our cells are constantly responding to energy. So the question is, what energy and what messages are we giving to ourselves? So bioenergetic medicine is understanding that every choice that we make, what we put in our mouth, the thoughts that we're focusing on, the emotions that we feel, how we are with other people, whether or not we are constantly stressed out in our mind or we're giving to people, all these things, all these choices that we make actually shifts the energy of our body. And if we shift the energy of our body in a certain way, we'll tell ourselves how to behave. If we are constantly stressed out, what happens is we've actually have gene sequences in our body. You know, one, I don't want to get too sciencey, but one is called the Conserved Transcriptional Response to Adversity, which is CTRA. And this is a gene complex that gets turned on every time our body senses stress. Now, back in the Paleolithic days, this thing would turn on when there was a saber-toothed tiger or a neighboring village that's going to attack you. Now, what would happen? Well, when they sense that stress, it would ramp up. It would turn on inflammatory genes. Because why? What if you got a flesh wound and it needed to be able to attack? It needed to be able to heal that. And it would drop your immune system or turn off your immunity genes. Why? Because why spend your body's energy on fighting against cancer or infections when you're about to be someone's lunch? Yep. So these things are encoded in our genes to protect us. Fortunately, we don't have to save two tigers anymore. Unfortunately, the stresses that we put upon ourselves in our relationship, in our work, how we show up for other people, basically makes us think that there are saber-toothed tigers around all the time. And so the majority of people, that is what's the message that they're giving to their cells. That's the stress and survive state. The thrive state is really being consciously aware of the choices that we're kind of programmed and react, because all the childhood traumas that we had growing up make us act a certain way. It becomes this seat of our ego? Can we see that ego not respond from that stress and survive space and come from a space of who you really truly are? That is the thrive state. And the things that we can control most in our lives are broken down into five categories. One is physical, which includes sleep, movement, and nutrition. Mm-hmm. The choices we're doing in those areas. Next is mental. Where are our thoughts?
Do you want to know my biggest and best beauty secret? It is liquid collagen. I started drinking liquid collagen 3.5 years ago, and I am totally obsessed. I have never looked younger, fitter, leaner, stronger. My skin is glowing. My hair is thick and shiny. Eyebrows, eyelashes, nails, they're all growing, and I feel like I'm aging backwards. If you really want to know a huge hack to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant, you got to try this collagen. It is amazing. If you go to the show notes, you will get a $10 off coupon. If you buy 2 bottles, it's $25 off. And there's 2 versions. There's one for anti-aging and overall health. And there's another formula for fat loss. Both formulas are amazing. They taste great. And it's so easy to take. You just take a spoonful in the morning and a spoonful at night and just add it to your regimen. This stuff is off the charts. So make sure you go to the link in the show notes and grab yourself a couple bottles and tell me how much you love aging backwards. Thanks for watching the show, and we'll be back to our regular content now.
The 80 to 100,000 thoughts we think of every day. And most of them are repetitive. Most of them are negative because there's all in this default mode trying to keep us safe is focused on the negative. This is why fake news grabs our attention. This is why these ads that are clickbait grabs our attention because it brings up our fear response. Most of them are negative, but what can we control? We can control where we put the flashlight. Where do we put our focus? Where do we put our attention? Do we want to focus on things that we have versus things we can't, we don't have? We want to focus on things we can control or the things we can't control. That's what we can control. And if we shift our focus, we shift how we feel. We shift how we feel. We shift the message we're giving to ourselves. And then there's emotions. You know, I mentioned the 478. I mentioned the play. I mentioned the laughter yoga. We know what music does to us, but we change our emotions. The emotions are actually basically the biochemical symphony of what's happening inside our body in a moment-to-moment basis. So are we in that?
That is so beautiful. Right? If you're tweeting, emotions are the biochemical symphony of what's happening. And people are playing a sad symphony. They're playing an angry symphony, a stressed out symphony. Yeah. So when we find ourselves, okay, I listened to Dr. V, he talks about a thrive state, but I'm stressed, I'm angry, I'm in traffic, I just had a fight with my coworker. What are some ways to shift from the survive back into the high vibe thriving state? What are some of your favorite tools? Because I know you're only human too, and sometimes you get into some lower vibes, like stressed, angry, that's part of the human condition. What do you do to shift out of that? How do you change your focus, like you were just saying?
Yeah, so good. One, I think it's really important to really kind of define who you are, who you want to be, your I am. And I would suggest people do that when they're out in nature, after a meditation or after breath work. But are they playful? Are they generous? Are they loving? Who do they want to be? Can you define your I am? And once you define your I am, then I've got an acronym, IMPACT, which is I am PACT.
Okay.
The P is pause, which is a very important point. Because when you've got a bad day, you're sitting in traffic, people are yelling at you, you've got life happening outside of you, pause is the best way to be able to create a little bit of space between stimulus and response. And like Viktor Frankl said, he was a Holocaust survivor. This is a guy who saw his friends and family members tortured, people murdered. But he said that between stimulus and response, there's a space. Mm-hmm. In that space, there's our power to choose our response. And our response lies our growth and freedom. So when life is hitting you, boom, pause. Do some 4-7-8 breathing, go for a walk out in nature, do a meditation, do some breath work. But when you do that, you've created a little bit of space. And in that space, ACT, which is A, have awareness. What are you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling like I'm not enough. Where do you feel that in your body? Completely allow yourself to feel that. Okay, why am I feeling that? Oh, yeah, it's that old story of me not being enough again. Oh, I think this is a bad person because he made me feel this way. Oh, how did he make me feel this way? It must be that belief. So you start to understand that of yourself. So you have awareness. Once you have that awareness, you're allowed to let that feeling kind of go for a second. And then you choose. What do you choose? You choose your I am. You want it to be joyous. You want to be connected. You want to be grateful. Whatever it is, you choose. And you almost see if you put yourself in that state. A lot of, what I do is practice putting myself in those emotional states, and I teach people how to shift their state. But you want to be loving, you want to be generous. All right, put yourself there, and you immediately take action. So this is something I've done. I've got a long term relationship with my partner now, and the first 5 years were rough because she would come at me sometimes because she would get triggered, and she would come with maybe some rage, and that would trigger me. And rather than snap back, if I can just pause, give myself a little bit of space, take a deep breath. Okay. Understand maybe not, she's not saying what she means, but she's reacting to something as well. I have that awareness. Okay. I choose to be loving. I choose to be connected. I'll tell her, baby, I just reacted again. What you just said there just triggered me. And look, I want to just be love and I want to be connected. Can we take a couple minutes and start over? Can we start to do that with different moments in our life, create different impact moments in our life? Every time I walk through a door, I ask myself, because every moment you can give yourself where you can be conscious again and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to choose to be this way when I do this. So every time I open the door, or every time I open a Zoom call, I'm like, how do I want to show up? What kind of energy?
What is your door trigger? What do you say to yourself when you walk through a door? I just came up with one today because I was listening to Brenda Burchard. I'm like, I want to get my door trigger. Mine is everything always works out for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, my door trigger is this. Lovingly present and playful.
Beautiful.
Lovingly present and playful.
Lovingly present and playful. Things are always working out for me. Whatever it was, as you walk into a door, say something positive to yourself. Cool. And what is the T in impact?
Take action.
Take action.
So remember your I am, and that's something you have, you do during some, deep inner work. You choose your I am. And once you've listed those things, you know who you are. You know what you go back to. And then when life happens to you, pause, have awareness. Make that choice of your I am, and then you take action. That's a very practical thing for people to remember and just create more impact moments throughout the day. When you catch yourself scrolling on social media, just remember impact. Oh, what am I doing? Yeah.
Beautiful. You and I are so aligned. I give a keynote speech on the power of the pause. And I think if we could just... those two lines, those two vertical lines, if we could just visually install a pause button in our brain, when we get derailed, go to that pause and then do this amazing, reframing technique that you just taught us, impact. So such a powerful way to get rerailed when you get derailed. Yep. And when you lose that loving, playful vibration. So when we lose that vibration, we are in our egoic mind. And I like to say your ego is not your amigo. So how do we go from the ego mind to the soul mind and get into that higher self?
Such good questions. Number one, this is why I love Thrive State, because it basically integrates every aspect of life. You got to ask yourself, are you making the choices that put you in thrive state? Because if you're not sleeping well, you're gonna default to the stress and ego mind. If you're not eating well, you're going to stress and go to the default mind. If you're not exercising, that's where you're going as well. So basically, the categories I talked about, be it physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, all these things are going to allow you to make better choices so that you can feel more lighthearted in your heart. And so what are the choices that I think, you know, people can truly focus on is, are you truly, truly able to just be present and focused? Can you just be giving? Who are the people that are around you, right? Who are the people that are around you? How do you connect with them? Do you serve them? So all these things allow us to play into our soul a little bit more and not in the ego mind. So unfortunately, the ego mind basically, you know, works in such a way to have you make unconscious choices that basically derail all these different things. And it's really, you know, choosing from your heart, choosing from your soul, choosing you at the end of the day to make those things to shift back into you.
How did you make that shift? Like, did you have a spiritual teacher? Did you hit a bottom from making success and achievement your higher power, using that validation to fill what I like to call God-sized hole in your heart, to actually shifting into these higher values like playfulness, service, love, all the things that you're talking about? What was that turning point where you shifted from making achievement your higher power to actually making spirit your higher power?
Yeah, such a great question. I think it's been a journey, and every single day I get to make new choices. And I want to let people know that, you know, I don't even necessarily know that the gurus out there are like fully alive and awakened, that they have to make choices and evolve every single day as well. So it is a journey. So that's one of the things I want to encourage people is, you know, if you slip back to a default way of being, be gentle on yourself. Just know that this is a street that you walk down over and over again. And sometimes you habitually walk down the same street. Okay. Then you make the new choice. And it's constantly rewiring yourself. And that's going to take some time to do. For me, it was really hitting a place where there was a lot of things that happened in my life. So the universe has a way of, like, you know, smacking you over the head with a cosmic 2x4, right? So I was overweight, diabetic, and high blood pressure. I was fatigued as heck, brain fog. And I was a doctor. It wasn't a good look. And I really looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, how is this living? You know, I am supposed to be an epitome of health to be able to help people, but I am running on fumes here. And I don't think that what I'm doing is moving the needle a lot in terms of what I had to give. And so, but I just had to work on myself first. And I just started off like eating, sleeping, and moving better. And I realized very shortly, if I could be pretty conscious making those choices, I actually start to feel better. So the emotions start to get better. If you start to feel better, oh my God, I start to think differently. Oh, I want to take some personal development courses. So I did some Mind Valley, did work with Tony Robbins, like, you know, in his inner circle. I did study with some spiritual shamans and gurus. I'm doing some more spiritual work now. But it's been like this journey of evolving and understanding myself and asking why. Oh, is this belief installed by me? And can I let that go? What do I really want life to be, and how do I choose to be? And so it's been an evolution. I don't think I've arrived yet, certainly, but the more I'm doing the work, the more I can start to recognize how I've lived before in the past, and also see that, you know, others have gone through a very similar process themselves.
Well, I think society is telling us all the time, you know, the shiny car, the shiny houses, the vacations, like, you know, we're in a very materialistic culture, but a lot of people, me, you, we're trying to make that shift to have a deeper, more meaningful life. So what are some practical strategies? I know you did mention impact, But do you have any other strategies to rewire our old programming when we feel ourselves getting pulled into that default mode of I need, you know, the brighter, shinier things to feel happy with myself?
Yeah, like I would say the next best step would be holotropic breathwork. I lead people through a transformational breath practice. And if you follow me on Instagram or watch some of my stuff, we would do free breathwork trainings. And if we get ourselves into this place, there's a three-part breath where you breathe into your belly, breathe into your chest, and then out. And when you're doing this cyclically for, you know, 20, 25 minutes or so, what happens is you start to change the pH of your blood. It actually starts to constrict certain parts of your blood vessels. And all of a sudden, what you're doing is you're constricting the blood vessels and turning off. What are you turning off? The default mode network. You're quieting down that part of the brain. And all of a sudden, when that thing is quiet and you're allowed to really start to process and release, you know, old emotions and release triggers and really access the truest parts of yourself when that thing is turned off. So breath work, particularly, you know, the holotropic longer forms of breath work. And then certainly if you do it with a guide that has a particular intention for the breath work session you're going to do, is been transformational. And then certainly down the other path, and this has to be done with the proper practitioner in the proper set and setting. But we know that psychedelics such as ketamine, such as MDMA, such as LSD, such as DMT have now been a profound modality to use to help with mental health issues and be able to maybe uproot some of these old programming that we've had.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those are very wise. Now, I hear from a lot of biohackers that in order to achieve that next level of health, you have to create deprivation or pain in your body, whether it be a little bit of starvation or a lot of starvation through fasting or intermittent fasting, shocking your body with cold therapy. You know, for me, a lot of that stuff, I like being more in a flow state and more my feminine energy. Mm-hmm. What is your opinion on like cold plunging, intermittent fasting, all these like big trends as far as like putting your body in a painful state to achieve that next level of health and longevity?
Yeah. So the human being has a enormous capacity to adapt. And when you challenge the body with something, if your ecosystem, if you're in a thrive state, if you give somebody in a thrive state a challenge, it will be able to grow and adapt a little bit better with that challenge if you're in a thrive state. However, if you are in a stress state and then you get a challenge, you might not have the capacity to adapt. This is very similar to why people in America did worse out of any other country with the COVID pandemic. We had more people end up in the ICUs, more deaths here in the US than anywhere in the world because we were chronically in a stress state. People had chronic disease. And so hormesis is a great way for our body to adapt, to expand, but we have
what
to
does hormesis
understand.
Mean for the listeners?
Hormesis is giving the body a stress and then removing the stress, allowing some time to recover. And all of a sudden your body adapts and becomes more resilient and stronger after giving that stress.
Okay.
But that's if you have optimized the body into the thrive state.
Yeah.
If you are in a stress state and you try to do this thing, then you don't have the adaptive capacity to actually improve it. It might actually pull you down. Now, your question for women. Women should not do these hormesis, and we're talking about cold plunges, we're talking fasting, we're talking like, you know, saunas and things of that nature. Because you've got a, you know, or people who have not gone through menopause yet, have cyclical changes in their energy and their body reserves, and they should be practicing any type of biohacking or any type of stress in their body based on their ovarian cycle. And the when you are menstruating, so for anybody who's still menstruating, your menses is during the time where you want to just really relax and allow your body to just be more in a calm state. Right after your menstrual period, that's when you can pick things up. So if you do some hormesis, like fasting, like the cold plunges, all this stuff, high intensity interval training, you can do that for the first 7 days after your period. That's when you want to ramp things up. And after that, start to slow things down again. After you release your egg, you want to slow things down. And then slow things down again as you reach menses. So menses, you chill out right after you finish your menstrual period. That's when you could ramp up with hormesis and activities and then slowly trickle down into your menses again.
That's very valuable advice. And I don't mind like 12 to 14 hours of fasting. I can totally do that. I'm talking like 10-day water fast and 3-day water fast. That just seems like painful to me. But I guess there are some benefits because people in the biohacking space like love this fasting trend.
Yeah, I would probably say definitely work with somebody who has some integrative training so that they fully understand you. If you are a burnt out, stressed out CEO that's an overachiever that's super stressed out and you're like, I want the next best thing to make me even better, and you decide to take on a 10-day fast, that's not a good idea. I wouldn't have anyone do that.
No, there will be some murder victims if that happens. So how can we figure out our life purpose? And I know how important that is to find your thrive state, to feel like you're living life on purpose with purpose. What are some methods we can use to find our life purpose?
Well, that's a great question. I used to go through analysis paralysis because I'd learned in the blue zones, this sense of purpose actually allows people to live longer. And like, what is my purpose? What do I gotta do? Life reflects life. And if we actually look at the human body, it tells us everything we need to know about how we should be interacting as individuals. Because if we look at the microbiome in our body, each individual cell in our body, it tells us how we should be acting and behaving as human beings. You know, there is a heart cell. And its job is to pump blood. Now, but no heart cell is the same. If you're a heart cell that's closer to the artery, you might be extracting more oxygen for your neighbor, and your pump is going to be different. So you have a slightly different function, but they all serve its purpose. And they're all a little bit different. It just serves their purpose exactly as they are. Share some similarities, but exactly as they are. Doesn't have to think about it. And the thing is, if a heart cell decides not to do that, let's say the heart cell will decide, hey, you know what? I want to be a lung cell instead and extract oxygen. The process of transforming and becoming something else is a process of dysplasia in the body. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, the heart cell, it does its job. And when it does its job, it actually pumps blood for every other single cell in the body, giving it. So all it's doing is it's doing its thing, but serving this entire ecosystem. It is its own thing. It's got its own purpose as it is, and it's serving this bigger thing. When it decides it wants more for itself, it starts to multiply. I don't care how much oxygen I take. I don't care how much nutrients I take. I take more than what I should be taking. That becomes cancer in our body. What is purpose for human beings? Your purpose is you. So naturally, the things that bring you joy, the things that light you up, the things that inspire you, the things that, put you in a state of play, those things are written in your DNA for you to feel, because that's you. That's the authentic you. And when you do those things that make you feel those ways, that is the you. When you are just your authentic you, and you're just sharing yourself with the world, that is your purpose. You don't have to kill yourself. And I know women like, oh man, my purpose is my family, and I got to take care of my parents, and I have to take care of the kids. And you're just constantly giving and exhausting yourself, not looking after yourself. That's not the type of purpose we're talking about. It's like, what are the things that make you who you really are? And you share that part of you with the world. And you notice if you share that, it almost like, brings more joy and more inspiration into you. So our God-given gifts are the things that excite us the most, that inspire us the most. And that's who we uniquely are. And our purpose is also, you know, guided by all the crap that we've been through in our life. All those struggles, all the obstacles is the universe's way of going, here's a lesson you need to learn so that you could become stronger, so you're more resilient, so you can teach this to other people going through the same process. So all these things uniquely make you who you are. And if you are just you and you just share you with others, that's your purpose. Your purpose is you. And that's why you are your best medicine.
That is beautiful. So what I'm hearing you say is your purpose is just to be your authentic self and to share that self with the world.
Bingo.
And if we're in a thrive state, if we're feeling well rested, spiritually fit, energetic, then it's a lot easier to access that authentic self because we're not, you know, chasing around like just the next high or the next fix. So really quickly, we're down to the last two questions. I could talk to you all day. You're fascinating. What are some, I know that everybody has their own biochemistry and their own doctors and everything, but what are some general supplements that you think would benefit the majority of humans listening to this show?
Okay. So general. So generally. I would probably say because our food system is crap, we probably do need to supplement with some, you know, basic multivitamins. So getting a good quality from a good source of multivitamins is very important. Mm-hmm. The other thing is fish oil or omega-3s. I mean, you can get it from algae. I think, you know, animal sources are better. But getting fish oil is super important. They're anti-inflammatory. They're also important for our cell membranes. That's something that I know people probably aren't getting enough of. Mm-hmm. When we do micronutrient testing, I find that people are generally low in magnesium and vitamin D. So supplementing with those are important. And if you're supplementing with vitamin D, I would also supplement with vitamin K as well so that calcium doesn't deposit into your arteries. Having some mitochondrial support is great. And you can get that from taking ubiquinone or ubiquinol, alpha lipoic acid. Ubiquinol is actually the active form of CoQ10. So that's a mitochondrial booster. I can mention some other things, but
is that better than NAD and NMN? Do you think in your practice, because I know NMN and NAD are like really trendy for mitochondrial health, you like CoQ10 better?
I think they work a little bit differently. I like to see a little bit more on MNM or NMN. There's a lot of research in that space, but it's coming from kind of one source. And I'm starting to question whether or not the source is legit. So we'll see.
What's your opinion on metformin? I know that's really trendy in the longevity space.
Yeah, so metformin, I would probably say if you are certainly metabolically unhealthy, that's something that you should be taking. If you are overall in a thrive state, that might not be something you need to do because what it does inhibit is it actually inhibits a little bit of muscle growth and it doesn't make your exercise as good if you're on metformin. But if you're not exercising very much and you're pre-diabetic, then certainly that's something I think you should take.
And then the hot topic is Ozempic. What is your opinion on Mounjaro and Ozempic and these weight loss products that are flying off the shelves with a lot of side effects?
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned side effects. So we have to understand any choice that we make, there's going to be a positive side and there's going to be some side effects. So understand that anything, even a supplement, you know, will have a side effect and you have to understand those side effects. You know, certainly side effects of Ozempic include, you know, getting pancreatitis, thyroid cancer, you know, people on it who are basically, they're nauseated, will vomit a lot. And that's kind of why you lose the weight. I think those things are there. And also you also lose a good percentage of muscle mass when you're on it as well. So those are the negative sides. The positive sides are for people who are obese, who have actually tried everything, and it's just hard to get things kickstarted. I've seen some remarkable results with people who've been on it. So if you're on it with a practitioner who understands that ultimately it's going to be the change in lifestyle, the change of your bioenergetic state, not just adding one thing into the mix and expecting everything to change, but if you're willing to add that to kickstart changes in your life, then that could be a very powerful tool to use. And people who have done it with physicians who understand, I have a friend who will put people on Ozempic only if they've got a personal trainer on their plate. So they'll only do it that way. And they will normally not bring up the dose, and then will titrate down as the weight comes off and continue on that lifestyle plan is the only way that he'll prescribe it. So the way things are at, where they're prescribing to everybody and saying kids should be on this thing willy-nilly without anything else, I think I'm pretty against that. Yeah. But certainly it could be an adjunctive tool if used responsibly with a provider who understands behavior change and somebody who truly, truly wants to change and not just, you know, use the drug as a quick fix.
Well, this has been an amazing interview. You guys can pick up his book, Thrive, on Amazon and anywhere that you can buy books. It's an incredible book. And how can people find you and stay in touch with you, Dr. V?
Well, I'm all over social media at Dr. VMD. That's Dr. spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R-V-M-D. If you want some free resources, I've got some quick breathwork exercises and some longevity resources just to get you kickstarted. If they go to thrivestatestarter.com, they can pick that up absolutely for free to get you on your performance and longevity journey today.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Dr. V. This was an incredible episode. You could go back and listen to this one over and over again. There were just like nuggets in every sentence. And you guys are amazing for going on this wonderful journey, going from burned out and overwhelmed like most people to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We appreciate your reviews, your subscriptions, and sharing this amazing podcast with a friend. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Thanks, everyone.
Wow, what an amazing show. I got so much value out of that, and I hope you did too. I would love to help you get unstuck. Which of the seven key areas of life do you feel blocked in? Maybe you are stuck in your love life and can't manifest your soulmate. Maybe you just can't lose that last 10 pounds. Maybe you are burned out and want to get out of your job and create a six-figure side hustle. I have great news for you. I am offering 3 complimentary breakthrough calls this week for the women and the men that are ready to get unstuck. This is a free 45-minute coaching call that I am offering to my listeners. Just go to the link in the show notes. And for those of you ready to really have the time of your life and end 2024 on an incredible note, you will want to learn more about the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, October 3rd through 6th in Belize City, Central America. Not only will you learn how to get all 7 areas of your life to a level 10 to end the year with momentum, but you will enjoy pampering in a luxury spa with healthy food, yoga, and sound bath. We will be having an incredible time on the beach, in the pool, walking around the beautiful city. It's in a private island, and it's just something that will be the best decision you ever made. I can't wait to spend a weekend with you in Belize City, Central America, on a private island. So if you're looking for more information on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, make sure you go to my link in the show notes. And for everybody else, thank you so much for supporting the show. We love our listeners, your reviews, your subscriptions, sharing this podcast with your friends and family is really getting the word out there that you do not have to go through life burned out. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.